twos and threes. So yesterday we saw that we need to preach the gospel, right, in the twos and threes. And so we're coming to, this is really a continuation of that message, and I'll read this. So shepherding and perfecting in twos and threes, right? And actually, in one part of the ministry, Burley really considers even gospel preaching really is shepherding. You know, when you went out on the gospel yesterday, really what you're doing is you're shepherding man. This is our heart. You know, it's not an activity. It's not a work. It's not for numbers. Actually, our preaching the gospel is the top shepherding of man. But then we'll go on to see we need to continue to shepherd. So our preaching the gospel is a shepherding. And we'll see in the twos and threes, we want to learn how to shepherd the new ones around us, shepherd the saints, shepherd the backslidden ones, all these ones. But so I was really impressed. Maybe I'll open in this way before we get into the outline, that shepherding is so crucial to the church life. Shepherding, as I was getting into this matter, maybe every time you really get into a matter, you just get really impressed. But the church life depends on shepherding. And I was just thinking, all of us, you know, are here, right? And this is really a wonderful sight to see this many college students. But you're all here because of shepherding. Actually, none of us are really that strong. We're all here because of shepherding. If you consider, where would I be if we didn't have ones who shepherded us? I don't know where I would be. I can even give you some testimony. I have ones that shepherded me. You know, Paul knows this. A lot of brothers shepherded me. And, you know, sometimes they use this term, oh, this, you know, we shepherd a promising one. I don't think I'm a promising one. Probably none of us are really that promising. But someone shepherded us. Someone had the heart to shepherd us. And I just appreciate this is how we advance in the Christian life. We cannot really advance that much by ourselves. Always need ones to shepherd us. And, you know, I give you, you know, a short testimony. Even a couple days ago, I had this experience where I learned about a situation, and I was so bothered by this situation. I was sitting back there, and I found out about a situation, and I almost felt like I was in a haze. I just could not understand what happened or what situation, you know, I can't get into the detail. So I tried to pray by myself. And so I took one day, and I would say I was in the college training, but I was affected by this situation for a whole day. And then the next morning I woke up and I was still like, oh Lord, what happened, you know? And I realized, and of course I'm getting into this message on shepherding. I said, I need some shepherding. I don't think I can get through this situation by myself. So after morning revival, I texted a brother, and I hope we all have some that are like this, that when we have a situation, we almost know, I can contact this brother, you know. So I contacted a brother. I just sent him a text message. I gave him a little brief, and I was shepherded by him. So actually, he immediately called me, and he said, he just spent a little time with me about the situation. And that was a real shepherding to me. And that helped me. And we just realized we all exist because of brothers and sisters who are learning in this way, right? And I hope that, and this message really isn't about receiving shepherding. Actually, we need to realize the Lord wants us all to rise up to shepherd, amen, right? So we do need to receive shepherding, right? But we also, actually even more so, that's really the impetus of this message is since we all have the capacity to shepherd. And then I was thinking, when I grew up in the church life, right? More I look at it, you just realize we just need more and more shepherding. This is really the way the Lord will gain all these things, these wonderful things that we're talking about. Even in the message yesterday, we're talking about the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. Actually, there's one part of ministry that says that all of those depend upon the fourth gift, which is shepherding. They all hinge upon. Actually, apostle cannot really function without shepherding. So even you could almost say shepherding is the one that involves all of these ones. Actually, every gift involves shepherding. And even I was considering, there are some situations I know, you know, is this person really is stuck in a kind of situation in life and growth in life because either they won't receive shepherding or there's just not ones to shepherd that one. I hope this will almost be our heart, is there's so many around us who need shepherding. And we may think, well, I'm young, I don't know that much. Actually, you have a divine capacity within you, right? That's our spirit. And so, praise the Lord for shepherding. I just impress, oh, we just need the shepherding. So let's get into the outline. I'll read one. And so what we'll do with the outline is we're really just trying to open up a little more. I mean, we've heard this term shepherding, I think, a lot, but even it's very helpful to have some more definition. And I hope there'll be some helpful fellowship on there is proper shepherding. There's also not that good shepherding. But we all learning, right? So, but I hope the main point here really is, saints, we all are shepherds. And the Lord needs us to rise up to function as a shepherd, even give ourselves to shepherd others. But we need to see what that means accurately, right? So in Roman number 1, it says, in the twos or threes, we should care for others in the way of shepherding. How about brothers? You can read A. Amen. You know, when I got into A, and I considered A, there's a lot of words here, right? All-inclusive care of the flock, taking care of all the needs of the sheep. And you could read it quickly, but if you really get into it, this is really a tough task. I mean, who can do this? Who has the heart to do this? And I hope there would be something in us that we would rise up. Lord Jesus, I want to be able to provide something, right? There are so many needs of the sheep around us. But Lord Jesus, right? Shepherding refers to taking care of all the needs of the sheep. And I just ask you, you know, this question is, how many do we have that we would consider is our child spiritually? Now, you may say, I'm a high schooler, right? But I just encourage you, the main thing is ones get on your heart. I hope that this is the main thing with shepherding is to want to care for someone in this kind of way, they have to get on your heart. Lord Jesus, and we're just short. Actually, every point on this message, you just get into, you're like, Lord, I'm short. We're short in all these matters. But at least I hope that you would consider, Lord, I want to have someone that I care about in this kind of way. It doesn't even matter that much your capacity, but if you have a heart for someone like that, then you know, in the excerpt, maybe, I don't know if you ever have time to read it, it talks about shepherding is actually the most demanding thing in the church life. It's really demanding. It's really demanding, but you do it because they're your child. You know, and the example it gives is like a mother. A mother doesn't consider, that's why, you know, sometimes when you're younger, like, I don't know, you know, kids sound like a lot of work. Right? It's a lot of trouble. But once you have a child, automatically, because you have that, you know, one on your heart, it does. You don't think about, oh, I will give 2 hours a day to shepherd my child. It doesn't work that way, right? But so the real hinge here is, will ones get on our heart enough that we would have this kind of care? A lot of times we just will not allow this to happen to us. But the Lord needs ones who open their heart, right? I think one of the messages talked about as we are growing the life, this is actually from the training, our heart gets enlarged. So even maybe, Lord, we would give our heart to you. Lord, I would like even to have it available. In the reading, it talks about we need to go to the Lord and see, Lord, who would you put on my heart to shepherd? But shepherd in this kind of way that they have this, that... You know, the illustration is like if whatever hour of the day you have this kind of, you know, you're available to them, right? Because you care for them. You like to see them go on. Let's go on to B. So we'll try to define a little bit with shepherding. I really appreciate the ministry unfolding shepherding in this way. How about brothers, you can read B. How about sisters? You can read too. Amen. Amen. So we'll just take a little time on cherishing and nourishing. And I just was impressed with these two words. So as we have the heart to shepherd, I hope this would almost be a vision. And I when I got into the ministry, I almost felt like this was Brother Lee's vision, was the saints would rise up all to shepherd. And this would be a great revival in the Lord's recovery, right? Of one's rising up, taking the burden to shepherd one another. But as we shepherd, we need to realize, what are we really doing? And a lot of times, and that's why this matter of twos and threes is so critical, because all these points, we don't really know how to do that well. But it's okay. Actually, if you have two or three that have a heart to shepherd other people, in those twos and threes, you will make some mistakes. But if you have the fellowship, you have the prayer, you'll probably be okay. But if you're by yourself and you're trying to figure out how to shepherd, you probably make a lot of mistakes, right? And we probably still make a lot of mistakes. But anyways, that's a kind of an overarching theme of this whole matter. It's the twos and threes is the way we can carry out the shepherding. Apart from the two, I hope we just have this in our thought is, when I go back to my campus, there will be a couple, two or three, right, that I'm pursuing the Lord with, I'm practicing, I'm praying with them, and we're researching, we're considering, Lord, who can we shepherd? And in that fellowship, something would come out. Okay, so just to talk about cherishing, this is the order here, is that to properly shepherd someone, we really need these two points. It's we need cherishing and we need nourishing. And even the ministry is very strong. It says that without cherishing, there really is no nourishing. Without cherishing, there really is no nourishing. Even just to open up, Lord, what is cherishing? And so what does it say here? It's to make them happy and to make them feel pleasant and comfortable. Who can do this? I'm not good at this, right? But I just thought, oh, Lord Jesus, right? Even this matter of making, I just hope that we would see that this is important when we shepherd people, is to make them feel comfortable. Sometimes we don't think about this. Even I was thinking about, what makes, when I'm with this brother, I feel comfortable with him, and I'm with this brother, I don't feel so comfortable. But it's like this. We should consider this, because if they don't have, the way it defines, I'll read this to you, they have to like you. It's hard for someone to receive something from you if they don't like you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Man, we may think we're likable people, but actually, anyways, Lord Jesus. But you just think about what makes you feel comfortable with someone versus someone else. And I just like these two. I hope you always remember these two words, is that we have the Father's forgiving and loving heart, and we have the Son's shepherding and seeking spirit. That's what makes someone feel comfortable. And a lot of times that is where we're lacking, is we're just not that much in that way. So may the Lord, and we have to go on, but Lord, give me these terms, right? Lord, give me the Father's loving heart. Give me the Father's forgiving heart, right? Actually, if you're with someone like that, that's why you feel comfortable, because they don't condemn you. That's why that brother I called, or he called me, the reason why I called him, I knew that I could just be where I was, and it's okay. He would just, it's no problem. So we want to be like this, right? Maybe we're not like this, but Lord, make us like this. Because this is critical to our shepherding. When we're on the campus, right, we have to learn to be with ones in this way. And I'll just say one more thing about cherishing. A lot of times we use this term, right, to make someone feel happy. So, we'll do this. We spend time with them, right? And we're thinking, may I go play basketball with them? I would cherish them in this way. And that's not bad. I wouldn't say that that's right or wrong. We need to, what makes people happy is you spend time with them, right? And they like you. But I just give you this point. I found this in the ministry. It says, we cherish people by the divine and mystical realm and resurrection. Okay, that was interesting to me. I was really looking like, what is really cherishing, right? And he just kept saying some of the same things, but he said this, and I would, even to use some example, we met Ryder. I don't know where Ryder is. So Ryder, right? And, briefly, I don't know how good we cherished you, but I would just say this, is that when we're with ones in our natural life, that's not cherishing to them. So sometimes we wonder, is playing basketball cherishing to them? It really depends. Depends on, if you can play basketball in resurrection, it is a great cherishing to them. If you play basketball in the natural life, it's actually, you're just the same as anyone else, right? It's not a cherishing. And just to give some testimony with Ryder, you know, Ryder was, we met him a couple years ago. He had his own situation, but he was in this fraternity. He was in this fraternity. I remember we were thinking, how will he ever leave the fraternity? I mean, that's a big thing. I mean, if he's in the fraternity, how much time can he really give us? How much time can he grow in the Lord, right? But anyways, we just would spend time with him. And I was even thinking, you know, one time we went to the college retreat. He had a great time. And what did he really experience? He experienced something different than what he was used to. He had this family in a sense, but it's all natural. It's not, and that's not a real cherishing. And if we were with him in that kind of way, that's not a cherishing. He would just be like, this is not that different than the fraternity. But hopefully, and we would spend time with him, even not myself, but a lot of the brothers in the brothers' house, we spend time with him. Almost like you go to the fraternity house, and then you come to our house, hopefully there's some difference, right? There's some fragrance, there's something. And that itself is a cherishing. So I just enjoy that, is that if we are, and maybe we're not always in resurrection, but we're somewhat in resurrection, and this is kind of our, we have this consciousness, Lord, I want to be one with you as I'm with this person. Wow, this will open them up to us. Okay, so let's just finish here. I have a couple minutes. Let's go on. So, of course, to nourish them, of course, the goal of our being with them and them liking us and them being comfortable around us is that eventually, at the right time and in the right way, we can begin to feed them with the riches of Christ. Because really, that is what every person really is looking for, is to experience Christ in a real way. So let's go on. C says, love, interest, burden, and prayer are the essential basic elements of proper shepherding. And I hope these words you'll always remember these four words. And I'll just read this as I was getting into this matter. If you read where the excerpt comes from, he has this part where it's 15 practical points on shepherding. And it's very helpful. I hope you get into it. But if I was to distill it, because we have no time to get into it, if I was to distill it, the main message he was getting with that is, and I'll read it to you, it's very interesting. I have like maybe a couple minutes. It says, and a lot of these titles are helpful, listening to others, right, in order to realize their need and true situation. And this one really struck me, and actually all of the points here have the same kind of essence. Okay, it says this, visiting others without saying much. This is very interesting. And so he gives a story, and he says, they would go to, this is Witness Lee, he would go to Brother Washman Nee. He says, Brother Nee, I've been invited by a church in a certain place. Please tell me what I should do. And he told us, do not do anything except this. Whenever they ask you something, you should say, I don't know. This answer truly bothered us. We said, if this is the case, we do not need to go. And this is, doesn't this make sense? I thought shepherding, and later in the outline, we need to be equipped with the riches of Christ to teach people, right? Okay, but it says this. It says, he said, however, we eventually found this fellowship rendered us the greatest help because we all assume that we know so much. It is so hard to say, I don't know. He said, Brother Nee taught us to say, I don't know, because strictly speaking, we do not know that much. And what we do know, we do not know thoroughly. I found this so helpful to me. It's a lot of times we just have the flavor that we do know a lot. And when we're with people, we just have this, but it's balance. We do need to teach people, right? We need to know the truth. But at the same time, we don't know anything, right? Just like Matthew 23:8 says, don't call anyone rabbi because you're all brothers, right? No one is a teacher, right? So I just say this. We must not consider that we know more than they do. This is shepherding. So I just enjoyed that, is that on one hand, we want to be in this kind of way. And we have to learn. This was so convicting to me. On the other hand, I'll just give you the most important word is love. Right? The four basic essential ingredients of proper shepherding is love, interest, burden, and prayer. And so lastly, we'll just say this. If you have love, you know, I was even thinking, I don't cook that much, or my sister, she bakes and things like this. But you have all these ingredients. But sometimes, I think it's baking because it's something like chemistry, I don't know. It says, like, if you miss one ingredient, the whole thing doesn't work. And that's like considering really what shepherding is this way, is when you miss love, maybe you're not so clear in the truth. You should try to get clear in the truth, but if you have love, that's a very essential ingredient. Actually, you can, if you miss love, it's almost the whole cake doesn't work. I don't know if that makes sense. I enjoy, you know, there's this verse in Colossians 3:14. I always thought it was interesting. It says something like, above all, put on love. You know, he's speaking about all these attributes in the Christian life, but you have to add love, every single one of them. So let's just finish reading the outline, and then we'll just continue here. So praise the Lord for shepherding. I hope we're getting some help. This is just some helpful points here on how we shepherd others, right? Okay, so D, the best way to shepherd people is to give them a proper pattern. E, in the twos or threes, we should fellowship about the situation with our contacts so that we can study their cases, fellowship about them, and receive mutual help for shepherding. How about brothers, you can read one. Sisters, too. Amen. And so three says, then we can decide whom we should contact and by what way. So I just emphasize this. I hope this we would see something here. The Lord needs us to shepherd. And the best way to shepherd is in twos and threes. Because in twos and threes, we have the fellowship. In twos and threes, we can say, brother, that's not a good idea, right? And I want to say, lastly, really, the prayer is so critical. In the other part here, when he talks about prayer, we have to pray for others because, strictly speaking, that's all we can do for them. We really can't do that much for them. So our prayer is the most important thing. So Lord Jesus, right? Maybe practice this. I hope we would learn to practice to shepherd people into twos and threes in this way. Amen.
How about read Roman numeral 2 together? Okay, so Tim shared about shepherding, and also now we're going to make the transition that we need to perfect others. Okay, so the key words here is perfecting. Okay, so this is something we can do in twos and three. Brothers and sisters, we can release our binding and releasing prayer in twos and three, pursue the Lord in twos and three, even getting into the truth twos and three. We can shepherd one another and shepherd other people in twos and three. We also can perfect other people in twos and threes. Twos and threes are ways. We talked about this. This is the best way. What we're saying is you and just one more person in your campus or in your locality, and pray together and carry this out. Whatever we learn here in the training is applicable in twos and three. It's doable and practical. Okay, perfecting. Okay, let's talk about this. Do you feel like we all perfected already? Are we all inclusive? No, right? So reason why we're here in the training, because we want it to be perfected, right? We pay the price, we want to be perfected, right? But how much we're going to be perfected depends on how open we are. I think this is just fundamental lesson. How open we are determines how much, how fast we can learn, right? Sometimes we'll say, Lord, I open for your perfecting, but only you, nobody else. Right? That's how much you are open, right? Or some people say, oh yeah, I'll open. I open to maybe mature saints, or Bobby can correct me, Brother Timsey can correct me, and they can perfect me. But not you. Sometimes we have this type of attitude, right? But brothers and sisters, we can really learn from one another. you know, guess what? You know, husband and wife, that's what we learn all the time. And in all these spiritual matters. You know, sometimes my wife asks, you know, hey, what are you cooking for your prophecy? So it's like, I share something. I was so inspired, and I got into the words, and I share with her. And then she said, it doesn't make any sense. I got perfected, right? And in your, this is just one simple example, but we might be struggling with something that somebody can just render you help right there. And when I was in the college, I was like so struggled about the gospel. I don't know how to begin, right? This one brother just like, let's just hand out this this literature together. It was kind of newspaper form. And let's just go out and I'll just pass out this much. Let's just do this, right? And my thought, who's going to take that? You know, that was my thought. Let's do it together. We'll just do it together for just 10 to 15 minutes. And people take it. People appreciate it. Say thank you. And God bless you. Once you hear that, oh, I got perfected. All my fear for the gospel is just gone. So in twos and three on your campus, we can be really perfected in one another, right? Okay. Even in our campus setting, hopefully I'll speak to you. In our campus setting, brothers and sisters, even our learning style, when you are in the low level of learning, if you're taking maybe chemistry 101, maybe like auditorium style, one person speak and then one professor speak and then all other people listen, right? Bigger type of classroom. But as you advance in your study, you go to like a little bit advanced levels, it's more like discussion style, right? 15 to 20 of you sit together. There's no rank. There's no hierarchy. We're learning from one another, right? That should be our way. The body of Christ, we are all members of one another. We have different functions. We can learn from one another, and we can be perfected, okay? Okay, that side is just one side, us being perfected. But here, this lesson is actually perfecting others. So you yourself being perfected is just halfway done. Can you carry out your campus work by yourself? No way. You need one another. I was so impressed with that whales. My goodness. But not one whale. Perfected several whales. Coordinated together, catch bunch of fish, right? Hey, me being faithful, perfected, would not do that much. We should be quickly involved in perfecting others.
Amen.
That I could be coordinated, I'll catch school of fish. Oh, I love that word, school of fish. Let's catch school of fish.
Amen.
Let's be 18 whales. I love that picture. We can do it. We can do it if we are perfected together, okay? Okay, let's read quickly this. Let's read A all together. To perfect means to make a person useful. Can I perfect you, Philip? How you feel about that?
Amen.
You say amen, but when I hear that, I feel scared. You perfect me? But what it means, really, I make Philip useful. Then I can make somebody else useful. So we shouldn't be scared about this word. We can make useful, okay? And then the best way to do it is actually by doing things together. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share one story. This brother, Ellery, we contacted him. We've been meeting with him for about a year. He had from different background, but yet he's very talkative, he's not shy, he talked to everyone, so I feel like he is an evangelist, but he's not useful yet. He didn't get anybody people saved yet, so we just start getting into the one session, we're just getting into track together, and the next section, next week, we just go out kind of together, and he was frustrated how to begin the conversation. We just practice, you watch me. And I just hit them track, and then how to, hi, my name is so-and-so, this is track, and then it's Jesus in your boat, and I explain a little bit, you know. And I show him how to do it, and I ask him to do it next time, okay? So he did it that way. You know what? Guess what? In second session, he get one people saved. So I didn't teach him that much, but just by doing together. And then I was like, oh, my name is so-and-so, you know, Ellery. And then, you know, he shared this, Jesus in your boat, and he shared something. And then it seems like this person is nodding and agreeing. And then Ellery goes, do you want to read this prayer portion together? And this person say, wait a second, let me read it first. And he read it. Yeah, I can pray. So we got saved. So, you know, he was willing and he has the potential, but yet he wasn't useful yet. But by doing things together, we can equip this person. It's not much we do by doing things together. Okay, so let's read just quickly 1 to 3, okay? The Greek word for perfecting in Ephesians 4:16 means... The saints, including the students, must be perfected to manifest their function through the manifested function of the saints.
The church is built up. The building up of the church is the responsibility of all the saints.
So if you consider Ephesians 4:11 and 12, we're very familiar with these verses. One of them was memory verse, and then it was... laid out last night too. That shows how we're going to build up the body of Christ, right? 11 talks about four different categories of gifted person. These, you know, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and shepherds and teachers, right? And these are, in a sense, gifted people, but at the same time, these are functions, right? Apostle doing certain kind of function, prophet, prophesy, evangelist. So we need this type of function in order to build up the body of Christ. So you say, I want to build up the body of Christ. But if we are lacking in all these functions, there's no building up. Okay? That's number one I want to emphasize. And number two is this gifted one, the already perfected one, do you know what is their job? In our concept, they are doing what they are good at. And they are doing it for everyone. So I'm good at preaching the gospel, so I preach the gospel. And somebody's good at shepherding, they shepherd. And that's going to build up the body of Christ. No, that's not it. If you look at it, their main responsibility, do you know what they do? It's next word, 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So who do the building up? Saints building up, right? But this gifted one, perfected one, they do perfecting. So without perfecting, there's no building up. Okay, so perfecting is very crucial and very needed. And brothers and sisters, we are all gifted to the body. And saints actually look up to you. You have campus. And when you come, you have to realize that I am a gift to the body. And what we need to do, we need to learn how to perfect other people. And without those perfecting, there will be no building up. I'll stop here and then I'll just keep Brother Tim to share.
Okay, this is a wrap-up, right, of this line. This will be the last day of this line, so I'd like to review it briefly. And by doing that, I think you'll see what we mean by perfecting and how we, in twos and threes, perfect others. So this next point, B, says the goal. Let's all read B together. Okay, so let's just review real quick. This final point here is just a culmination of what we've been getting into for 5 days, so I'd like to just lay it out real quick for you. On Lord's Day, the first line in this, the first message in this line was, do you remember? It was pursuing Christ. Okay, so you have a person who is pursuing Christ in twos and threes. Right? So you start out with one person and you're pursuing. You're interested in Christ. So you have to find a companion. So that's twos and threes, right? And then the next one was beginning to practice. Good. Some sister had it there. You begin. Beginning to practice the twos and threes. Okay? So beginning to practice, I want to emphasize several points in that message was fellowship. You start fellowshipping with the ones that the Lord's given you. And it's also fellowshipping regarding the truth, getting in the Word. So there's this fellowship among you. You pray together, and then you care for one another. We call it FPC, fellowship, prayer, and care. Then the third message was on prayer, and it was releasing and binding prayer in twos and threes. And this was FPC. This was care. What is this C? This is a group coming together in twos and threes to care for one another, to pray, fellowship about their situation, to get into Word together, to fellowship about the Lord Jesus. And then FPC, fellowship, prayer, and what's this C stand for?
Coordination.
That means you're going to start considering those who the Lord's put in your environment, who the Lord's put in your heart, and so you have prayer for them. So now you're starting to reach out. Then in your reaching out, this was preaching the gospel. Right? In twos and threes. So that's the, after you coordinate, you figure out who is the Lord put in our pathway, who do we want to reach out to, so you go and do that. And then finally, after you share the gospel, you share Christ, you want to shepherd them and perfect them in the twos and threes. Okay, do you see the flow here? Do you see the progression? So you perfect them to do what you do. Okay, hey, Zach, come on up here. I'll use you for example. You're a local folk, right? You still, you have UGA? Okay. I know Zach from high school. Sort of, just coming out here. Okay, so Zach's at UGA. He comes in, now you're a junior, or what are you?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm a junior.
So he came in as a freshman. And so Zach is by himself. He's obviously pursuing Christ, or he wouldn't be here like the rest of you. You all are pursuers. But he's by himself. So he comes to UGA. He needs a partner. He needs a companion. So he's pursuing Christ, but he didn't want to do that alone. That was message one. You have to have a companion. So who are your companions? Is there anybody here? Give me two of your companions. This one? Come on, Martins. And who else? These two guys? Okay. Fabrice? All right. So now we got twos and threes, right? Wow, these are big guys. Okay, so now there's twos and threes. So now, were y'all off the campus? Y'all gained off the campus?
Yes.
Through this guy right here?
No.
Are y'all students?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so good. Y'all students. Y'all look like you could be related, right? Brothers in Christ. Okay, we're all brothers. Okay, so now he has his twos and threes, and they fellowship, right? They pray. By the way, let me give you a few quick tests to know if you're really companions. Companions in the Lord, number one, I want to see if you can pass this test. They pray together. I'm assuming these guys play basketball together, or frisbee, or and they probably talk about working out, right?
Push-ups.
I mean, they talk about a lot of things, you know. What else y'all talk about?
Soccer.
Soccer, sports.
Nagging people.
Huh?
Soccer.
Soccer. and maybe school a little bit, maybe girls a little bit. Who knows what they talk about? So, but if they can, they pray together. Do y'all pray together?
Yes.
Okay, that's one test of companions. Another test, when you're together, can you talk about Jesus? Does Jesus come up in your conversation? Yeah, okay. You probably fellowship about the word. The third thing is, when you're around other people, like new people, can you bring up the Lord Jesus and share the gospel with them? Or are you, you know, let's say Zach's going to bring up about the Lord Jesus and Martin's under the table kicking him, say, don't talk about Jesus right here. It's awkward. It feels strange. Don't bring up Jesus. Is that the case? No. Okay, so these are true companions. I just want to run a little test right there. So these are companions in the Lord. So now they have twos and threes, so they care for one another. They take care of one another. They're opening, they're fellowshipping, and now they have some burden to reach out. So this is the third point. They pray, they coordinate. Who is in your heart? Who are your classmates? Who are your relatives? Who is it that's put in your heart? Can you name a couple of them?
Yeah, his brother.
Your brother. Okay, that's one of the persons you're praying for, right? Yeah. How about another person? Okay, so they're praying for these ones. Okay, now they have to coordinate. How are we going to reach out to these ones? Have you all considered how you're going to, who's going to do it, when you're going to do it, how you're going to do it, etc.?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And then they do it, they preach the gospel, and then they begin to shepherd these ones. Once they receive the Lord, and now they want to perfect the ones that they have shepherded. So what is it these people have been doing? They've been 1 through 4, 5, 4.5 up to shepherding. So perfecting means to bring people into doing what they've been doing. This is the concluding point in this series of 5. This is what these ones have been doing. And hopefully they have been doing it in coordination with a full-timer. Do you have any full-timers on your campus? Who are your full-timers?
Robert.
Okay, why don't you stand up, Robert. Have you coordinated with Robert? Robert, are you connected with these guys in some way? Okay. So in perfecting, we want to be connected to the ones the Lord's given us, and then the ones that we bring in, your brother, you said, or your?
Ire.
Then we want also to connect them with Robert. Have you met these friends of these yet? Good job, okay. So this is the way that's leading to perfecting. And then let me ask another question. Are you connected with a home? Okay, what home are you connected with? Same one, Robert's home. Okay, sometimes it's another too. Is the other one here? Is the community saint here? Sometimes it's the same as a full-timer. Other times it's a community saint who's maybe not a full-timer, works in the community, has a home and family, and you can bring them into that environment. So this also is a shepherding, and then the new one gets perfected to just by being around and watching these and becoming part of that, then there's the perfecting. You got it? So the one that they care for then becomes part of this twos and threes, and eventually this is why how the Lord multiplies. And let me turn you to verse right here. This is 2 Timothy 2:2. It says, the things which you have heard, this is Paul writing to Timothy, from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men. So like we talked last night briefly about the common faith, probably in their truth pursuit, they are familiar with the common faith, and so they now want to teach others. These commit to faithful men. So let's see, why don't you come up here? You'd be his brother. Okay, so let's pretend this is his flesh brother, right? Okay. Brother in Christ. Okay, so we want to commit these things to faithful men, And then, comma, who will be competent to teach others also. So perfecting is not completed until you're able to help that person become someone who bears fruit. So your job is not done until he becomes not just a piece of fruit, but a fruit-producing branch in the vine. So your name is Philip, or what's your brother's real name?
Harvey.
Harvey, okay, you're Harvey for today. So we, this group, and twos and threes, have taken all these steps. Now, the perfecting goes on until this one is also pursuing Christ. He's in twos and threes, and maybe he joins this twos and threes, or splits out and multiplies. Then they have the prayer, then they have the sharing, the gospel, and then they're shepherding, and then this one is able now. Here's another one. How about you come up? Yeah. So now Harvey is able. He's now twos and threes, and he has now multiplied. He has been perfected to the point. It says, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to teach others also. So your job in perfecting Harvey doesn't finish until he is able to do what you do. Just like you brothers were raised to do these things, then you have to be able to bring him in. And you just do it by being alongside, by bringing him into exactly what you're doing. Then he becomes, you become the pattern, and he becomes a fruit, and then he can do what you can do. You see the picture? See, so perfecting, what all this foundational work is leading to is leading to perfecting. If you look at the last, how about y'all sit down? We'll just finish out this outline. Thank you. B, C says, we must, why don't you read C to me? Go. Okay, so we must learn the truth and know what is the faith. That's the common faith that we gave you last night. You should know that. In our internship training, we have a session on that, and then they break up and they write a song. They write songs. I have a CD now that has got 15 songs on it, 13 songs, and most of those are regarding the common faith. So it gets ingrained in them, constituted, so that becomes what they're speaking. And then they teach others, the last part of that says, we will be able to teach others in the same way as we were taught, to teach them to the extent that they can teach the same thing. And then D says what? As we practice. So underline carrying out. Practice carrying out. So it takes practice. Many, many times, like playing basketball, like playing the piano, you have to practice. You'll make mistakes. That's how you're going to learn. I've made so many mistakes. You laugh at some of my mistakes. And I'm still making them. But through the practicing, then we become better and better. And then it says in 1, after the responsible students serve for a few months. This to me sounds like an internship where you're serving with the serving ones, with the full-timers. You're serving together. We had you stand up last night. So when you get equipped as a serving student, then you can bring other students into bearing responsibility. So we have internship going on in Austin, and many of those ones in the internship this summer were met last summer by the ones who were sophomores in. They met these freshmen, and now this year, guess who a lot of these interns are? They are the very freshmen that we met this time of year last year. So these students have effectively brought in the students, the freshmen now who are now going into sophomore year, into doing the same thing they were doing a year ago. A year ago, many of these ones that we were gaining off the campus, they wanted to be involved. And so they, when we talked to them about the internship this summer right here, they said, we want to have babies. We want to do what others did to us. So they were wanting to be perfected, which happened during the year. So this past summer, or this current summer, they're out doing the same thing that was done to them. And they are, now we have a list of 156 most responsive ones out of hundreds and hundreds of people we met. And so now these will become the ones that are gained for the coming summer. And that fits this next point, number two. Let's read it together. The students okay, this is a big responsibility. The students will graduate. We illustrated that last night. We hope you all graduate. But while you're still in school, while you still have your student status, you should build up something on the campus, and then those will be raised up. Then those whom they raise up will continue, and the Lord's work will not be terminated. So the students are critical to be raised up. So we have a responsibility as students to raise up the next generation or the next level. So you have seniors, juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. So every year, of course, these graduate and then a new class comes in. So it's our responsibility. Now, here we go. These just graduated, so now we have, these now have become seniors, these now have become sophomores, these have become juniors. You got to get through there. And these have become the sophomores. And now, right now, probably these weeks, there are freshmen coming on this campus. I hope you know when your freshman orientations are, when your freshman registration periods are, because there's freshmen walking on your campus. And if we do not labor on them and gain some of them, then there won't be any. When these graduate, then there'll be zero sophomores. If we do that for another year, there'll be zero sophomores and zero juniors. Another year, there'll be zero seniors, zero juniors, zero sophomores, and there won't be any continuation. You see how necessary it is to be perfected and to do the work while you're in school, especially if you'll focus on these freshmen. Okay, you got it? All right, so back here, for this line, don't go it alone. You need a companion, and you need this kind of care for one another, and you need this kind of coordination to reach out to others, then to go out, and then also shepherd these ones and bring them into what you've been doing until they can do exactly what you do and can bring in others so that when you graduate, guess what? You have fruit on the campus and fruit that will also produce fruit. And then your spirit, the spirit of Frank or Zach, will continue on because there'll be a reproduction. It's called be fruitful and multiply. Okay, that's good enough. Probably we should save some time for you to share. So I'll turn it over to whoever handles that.